If you've got a Bible, I want you to open to Judges chapter. It's really chapters 19 and 20. I was reading this scripture on the way home on the airplane, and this is how the body works, the body of Christ works. I was just reading it, but I didn't have revelation of it. So I spoke to a brother in the church, and he actually said, I've been reading this scripture, but he had the revelation of it. So I can't really claim this message comes from me. It comes from someone else in the church, but I'm going to preach it. Father, as we come to your word, Father, I ask for that rich anointing that makes your word live. I ask for that anointing to speak under, so that this word is a word of spirit and life that will go forth and accomplish what you sent it for. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. This story, I can't read the whole thing, otherwise we'll be here too long, but it's an account of a man who takes a wife, and his wife is not faithful to him. It says concubine, but it really, in the Hebrew, it's better translated wife. And she goes off, and he goes to get her back. It's a bit like the book of Hosea. And he goes to get her back, and he goes a long way to get her back, because she goes to a different city when she runs away from him. But he goes to get her back, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And they stop on the way back. And I'll just read what happens so you get the gist of it. As they're enjoying themselves, this is from Judges chapter 19, verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please, but this man did no such vile thing. But the men would not heed him. The man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master rose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up, let's be going. But there was no answer. So the man lifted her in a donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, divided her into 12 pieces limb by limb, and sent her out the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it, no such deed has been done or seen from the day the children of Israel come up from Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer and speak up. Now, cut a long story short. The men of Israel then hear about this story where this man goes to get his wife back, and on the way back, he comes to the city, Gibeah, with the city of the Benjamites, which is part of Israel. And these perverted men, they're homosexual men. And they want to commit a homosexual act with the man. And the man says, no, but you can have my concubine, which is a pretty ordinary thing to do anyway. But he gives his wife, and basically his wife gets raped to death. And he cuts up this wife. He's so upset, he cuts up his wife when he gets home in 12 pizzas, sends it throughout the 12 tribes of Israel, and says, this has happened, what are we going to do? The 12 tribes of Israel said, this has never happened, and it's an outrage, and so we want to go to war with them. And so the 400,000 fighting men of Israel, if you go through chapter 20, come against 26,000 men of the Benjamites. And they go, and I'm going to read from verse 18. They go to war. Then the children of Israel arose, this is from chapter 20, and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah first. So the children of Israel rose in the morning and camped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed the battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I again draw near the battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against him. So the children of Israel approached the day of children of Benjamin on the second day. And Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day, cut down to the ground 18,000 more of the children of Israel, all those who draw the sword. Then all the children of Israel, that is the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet go again to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord says, go up, for tomorrow I'll deliver them into your hand. Then Israel set them in ambush all around Gibeah. And basically, on the third time, there is a great victory, and Israel basically decimates the people of Benjamin. But I want to draw attention to the fact that even though the children of God, children of Israel, it says they went to the house of God and inquired, which of us shall go up to battle first against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah first. Even though they had the word of God, even though they had a righteous cause, and Benjamin was doing wickedly. Benjamin was obviously doing wickedly. They came into the battle and with 400,000 men against 26,000. And on the first day, they lost 22,000 men. So 22,000 men died in a battle they thought they were going to win. And so they went again and they sought the house of God. The next day they went out. They went up for battle. And it says 18,000 more children of Israel died fighting in a righteous battle. And then it says that they then went up, all of Israel came to the house of God and wept, and they fasted, and they prayed, and sought God again. And God said, go up, for tomorrow I'll deliver them into your hand. What I want to speak about in this story is sometimes you could be doing something. You could be following a plan of God. You could be moving in a righteous way. You could have a word from God and be believing that word, maybe in relation to your sickness, maybe in relation to your battling for your children to come back to God. And as you start believing, as you enter the battle, things get worse. Things often get worse. This is a battle. I believe this is a battle. And it's what the one of the mistakes that people fail about. It's a spiritual battle. Because whenever there's homosexuality involved, and the men were given a chance, because I didn't read it, but before they went to battle, the men of Israel came up to the men of Gibeah and said, hand over the wicked men and we'll just deal with them. But the men of Benjamin said, no. It's because that spirit had defiled the whole people, the whole tribe, and they were all in agreement with it. And there's a spiritual power at work. So the battle is spiritual. And it's very, very pertinent here that it says Israel had 400,000 men now fighting 26,000. And there's a sense that When Israel went into battle, they were presumptuous and they were believing in their thinking that their 400,000 men would be enough. And I want to tell you, whenever you go into a battle, the power of God only manifests through weakness. When you fight a battle spiritually, you can't rely on your physical strengths. Where you're strong naturally is a point of vulnerability in a spiritual battle. There's a great problem with presumption in Christianity. There's a difference between presumption and faith. There's many times in the scriptures, there's times where Joshua goes to, he wins a victory at Jericho. So he's had this great victory. And then he assumes that he's going to have victory at Ai. There's no real crying out to God, but he's defeated at Ai. So it's important that we realize that when we're in a battle, areas where we're naturally strong is often a point of spiritual vulnerability, because our faith, our trust will rest in the things that can naturally win victory, rather than our faith resting on the power of God. But I want to say, this is often the way with God. If you go to Exodus chapter 5, God gives Moses the word. And God says to Moses, go to Pharaoh. I'm going to deliver my people. And ultimately God does. And he says, you're going to go and you're going to lay your staff down and the people are going to come out of Egypt. So Moses goes to Pharaoh with the word. And Pharaoh says, in response to the word of God, Moses goes and says, by the word of God, let my people go. And to paraphrase it, Pharaoh says, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away their straw and make their job of making bricks doubly hard, and I'm going to double the burden of them. And Moses, when he hears that, comes back in at the end of chapter 5, verse 22, and he says, so Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. I want to tell you, when you start entering a battle, believe for your healing, believe for the deliverance, believe for your children who are not working with God to come home, believe for victory in a battle. That victory often begins with what looks like a defeat. And that's because the enemy intensifies his resistance against you at the start. And in the kingdom of God, I just want to encourage you, many, many times, victory begins with what looks like defeat. And in fact, victory is often camouflaged as defeat. You can see it many, many times in the book of Acts. I heard this message recently. The book of Acts, the church was told to go into the world and God was going to work with them. Signs and wonders was followed. And very, very shortly after, Stephen is killed. James is killed. And Peter is imprisoned. James and Peter are the two key guys. James is killed by Herod and Peter's in prison. But when you start moving into a plan of God, when you start moving into believing God for deliverance, for healing, for victory, I want to tell you, the enemy is going to start fighting back. Straight away, the enemy is going to start fighting back. The enemy is going to start punching. He's going to start resisting. But I want to tell you, we're a tested people. The key when we're in a battle is the word of God. It says the children of God, the reason they could be victorious, they said, which of us shall go up in the battle against the children of Benjamin? The Lord said, Judah first. When we have the word of God, when we know God's spoken to us, God has given us a word, and he's given us a word regarding healing. There's just logos. He said, by my wounds you are healed. But Psalm 105 verse 17 says that when God spoke to Joseph and he promised him he'd be a deliverer of the people, he'd be used as a deliverer, it says, as soon as Joseph basically received that word, you know what happened to Joseph? End up in prison. The enemy started opposing him, and it said, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. I tell you what happens. When God speaks to you, you have a word of God about what God's going to do, and you start believing that. The first thing the enemy does is start to fight you. The fiercest battles are at the beginning. And your job is not to produce faith, because the word of God does it. If you have the word of God, he is so good. He produces faith in your heart. But he does expect us to deal with doubt and discouragement. Do you understand that? The Bible says that the man, it says, if you believe and do not doubt, you'll get what you ask for. It also says the double-minded man gets nothing. Those things says doer. When we have the word of God, it's very, very important that we believe the word. We stay with that word of God. We believe the word. We in the face of obstacles, of hellish opposition, if we have the word of God, we've got to believe that that word can never and will never fail when it is received into a believing heart. Amen? It can never and will never fail. The word said, go up. And they lost in 2 days 40,000 men. The Bible says that we are to ask, keep on asking. Knock, keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. That it's not just a one-off believing. It's believing and continuing to believe God, even when things start to go pear-shaped. But victory in the kingdom often begins with what looks like in the natural, certain defeat. But you know, the people got the victory, and you sense that at the start of the battle they got the word, and their prayer was nominal. They didn't go up and say, "God, should we go?" They just said, "God, who goes first?" God gave them the direction. But this battle was deeply spiritual, because you know, when the spirit of homosexuality in a work, there's a spirit of lawlessness in a land. The battle is spiritual. We've got to realize the battles we fight are spiritual battles. If our children are not walking with God, that's because the enemy has them. The enemy is taking them captive, their minds captive. If we're sick, it's often because there's a spirit of infirmity at work. And I wanted to get the victory, when you're in a battle, you've got to take a spiritual approach. You've actually got to know that it's a spiritual battle. And this battle didn't start to get turned. It says that in verse 26, it says they lost 2 days in a row, but then all the people went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted until evening. They offered burnt sacrifice and they inquired of the God. In other words, they had an all-night prayer vigil. And they started to fast. And they started to seek God and really pray. It wasn't nominal praying like it was at the start. They actually started to seek God and pray and fast. And I want to tell you, there's many, many stories in the Bible where battles are turned through the power of prayer and fasting. You see in the book of Esther that their destruction was assured. Mordecai, who was demonically empowered, had arranged for the destruction of the entire nations until Esther said, fast for me 3 days. I want to tell you, there is such power. There is such power in fasting. If you are prepared to be unusual and not eat, God will do something unusual for you. God will start to destroy the principalities and powers that's stopping your victory. You see in Exodus chapter 17, Moses was he was older, so he sent Joshua into battle against the Amalekites. And when he was battling against the Amalekites, he was fighting. It says, when Moses held up his hands, and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands. And when his hands were lifted in prayer, in worship, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hands, the enemy prevails. And you see, I said that in the book of Acts, they were winning, but it looked like they were losing. God had given them the word, and then their leaders started to be killed. But you know why they ultimately had victory? Because it says in chapter 12, the book of Acts, it says they killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's one of their leaders. And then Peter is in prison. And you know that Herod's about to kill him because it pleases the Jews. But this victory, they had a tremendous victory this day where what looked like certain defeat, it looked like Peter would certainly die. But didn't happen. What happened? An angel came into the prison, and it says an angel broke his chains and let him out supernaturally, opened gates, and he went through. What looked like a certain defeat was turned into victory. You know why it was turned into victory? Because it says Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God by him for the church. Victory began with looking like defeat, but through the power of prayer, defeat began to be turned into victory. I want to tell you, you've got no more powerful weapon than to get on your knees and pray. It's constant prayer. You've got no more powerful weapon than to fast. If we only knew the power of prayer, God does nothing except answer prayer. The trouble is, we often depend on our strengths. We often depend upon other things. They had 400,000 against 26. We often do other things thinking they're going to bring victory. We may go to human counseling, or we may go to other means that human doctors we can start to depend on. But I'm telling you, our battles are spiritual, and our weapons of warfare are prayer. The weapons that bring the victory, the weapons that turn the battle, is prayer and fasting. There's so little prayer, and particularly fasting, but Jesus said, when you pray and when you fast. But you know, when you get the word of God, when you've heard from God, this is what you've got to know. If God has given you a word, maybe you're sick and you just heard the word of God from Angela then. That's the word of God that Jesus, you know, he said, I have to go to Jerusalem, not only to die, but to suffer and die. They're his words. Now, you know God's a loving God. If Jesus just died, if he only had to die for our sins, that's all he died for, then Jesus would have just died. He wouldn't have to suffer and die. But he had to suffer those wounds, because by his wounds we are now healed. Because it's a full salvation. But when you get that revelation, when you get that word, you've got to know, if you get that revelation in your heart, or God speaks to you a promise about your children, you've got to know that word can never, ever, 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 ever fail if it is received into a believing heart. That's why Jesus taught the lesson. I've said over and over again about the time where Peter went fishing. I've said this many, many times. The point of that message was Peter came to Jesus and said, we've got to pay our taxes. How are we going to pay our taxes? And Jesus said, throw a hook, fishing line in, and you'll catch a fish, and in its mouth will have a coin to pay our taxes.
And Peter went away thinking, what a ridiculous thing, but I'm going to obey him because he told me to throw my net out, and I got 153 catches. So he threw his hook in, and what he realized is that when he threw that hook in, every fish in the ocean which did not have the coin in its mouth had to get out of the way, so the one with the coin in the mouth got on the hook. The lesson that Peter learned was the word of Jesus can never, ever, ever, ever fail. And what happened with these people, they had the word, Judah first. If your children are away from God, the word of God says, you and your household. Salvation is for you and your household. It says, the righteous are blameless and all their children are blessed. That's the word of God for you. You can claim it. And you've got to believe it. What do you do when the battle doesn't seem to be being turned? I say, well, if you'll pray, if you'll commit to a lifestyle of praying and fasting, I tell you what God will do. In those times where you pray and fast, when your times when you're questioning, God will confirm, God will speak again. It says they went and prayed and fast, and God confirmed the word. He said, go up for tomorrow, I'll deliver them into your hand. I tell you, when they got that word, when God really speaks to you in the midst of prayer and fasting, when you're in a battle and God speaks, you hear God, real God, the God of creation, speak into your heart a word, you know you have victory then, not when the battle takes place. That's what the word of God does. And if you're discouraged, when you hear the word of God, the effect of the word of God is the word of God encourages. That means it comes in where there is fear, where there is doubt. The word of God goes in like a two-edged sword, and it destroys that fear and doubt and replaces it again with bold, believing faith. So you've got to pray if you're in a battle and keep on praying. You've got to get the word and continue to get the word. You've got to move with the word and not doubt the word. Don't give in to discouragement. You know, final thing these people are willing to do, they're losing 20,000 people in 2 days, dying. And they get the word of God. You know, it must, at some level, you know, when these things happen, We humanly are often able to say, God, what is happening? God, I'm believing your word. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I'm fighting this battle. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. What do you do in those times? I tell you, knowledge is power. Word of God will never fail, but the word of God, it tests. Faith is tested. You're being tested. But we had this song sung today, which I thought was such a confirmation what God wants to say to somebody here. What did we sing? We said, how'd the words go? Jehovah has the final say. The word of God is the final say. The word of God is the final say. And, you know, we have a word as a church. It says stretch out to the left and stretch out to the right. Or move up the hill here. It was from Psalm 50, or Isaiah 54. It said stretch out your tent. You'll expand to the left and to the right. You know, when we first moved up here, there was no expansion, and for a while there was contraction. There was contraction. Why is that? Same sort of thing. Because the enemy opposes the word. I don't want to preach long today because I just have this thing in my spirit. There are people here that God's called you into believing something. And God has, you know you've got a word of God. You know you're believing something from God. You know you're in a battle. And maybe what you're believing for, it's just not happening the way you think it was going to happen. Maybe what you're believing for, the situation's actually got worse. Maybe instead of being healed, you got sicker. Maybe instead of that business solution you've been believing for, it got worse. Maybe the kids you're believing to come back to God, their behavior's getting worse. They're getting more whatever. I want to tell you, as a church, we're a church of prayer and fasting. And we're a church who believes in the Word of God. And I just believe that today, God wants people to know the battle is His. No matter what you see, no matter what you see in your eyes is going on, that Word, by His wounds you're healed. That Word, salvation is for you and your household. That Word will never fail. That healing is manifest and those kids are coming home. The Word of God can never, ever, ever, ever fail. And I want us to pray. I want us just to bow our heads now. And for every person that is in a battle, every person that may be confounded, I want to remind you about the Syrophoenician woman when she came to Jesus. Three times he said some strange things to her. She was believing the word of God, and three times it looked like he didn't answer. I want to tell you, she got her answer. I want to tell you, the word of God is yes and amen. I want to tell you, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the start of that word and He is the finisher. He is the beginner. He is the completer. He is the performer. He is the perfecter of that word. Father, today in the house of God, I rebuke every spirit of discouragement in the name of Jesus. I rebuke in the name of Jesus every spirit of doubt and every person in a battle today. Father, I decree the battle belongs to you and you never fail. Father, I ask that you would turn battles for people in this house today, Lord. Father, I ask that you would arise, you would start to scatter enemies in this place today. Father, I ask that you start to move, you start to perform and you start to perfect your word where people are just hanging on, Lord. Father, I thank you that you promise never to give us more than we can take. And I thank you, Lord, that victory is assured for every person that is hanging on. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, no matter what the enemy does, no matter what our eyes see, no matter what shape the battle starts to look like, no matter how many people begin to fall, Father, you only ever lead us in a march of victory. I thank you that through you we are more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you. We'll have testimony in this house next week. For people who may even feel like they're losing, that victory has broken out.
Amen.
I tell you, there's a word for somebody here. You believe in God and you're saying, what is happening? I tell you what God, the only thing God expects from you, God wants from you, faith is the victory. There is no victory outside of faith. And you don't have to produce faith. He produced it in your heart through the word. He has given you the faith. But he expects you to deal with doubt and unbelief. And he's saying, just put all those doubts. When they come in your mind, just push them aside. Just continue to push them aside. Continue to speak out the promises of God. You continue to decree the word of God over your own life. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have testimonies in this house next week of sick people being healed, of provision breakthroughs, of what the enemy's been opposing and doing in your life. It's finished.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't have a message this morning. I don't have a sermon. I got a word from God. This is a doing word. This is what God is doing today.
Amen.
I tell you, it's alive to me. It's a work for whatever God's been. I tell you, the enemy's been at work. The enemy's been trying to press people down. The enemy's been just trying to make your circumstances look like it's not victory when it is. Let's stand up and praise Jesus, because He is our victory. Through Him, the Word of God will test us, but through Him we are always, always overcomers. Let's praise Him for what He's doing.